Now, anyone familiar with Shepparton will know the big transmitter towers to the north of the town, which was home to Radio Australia before it was shut down a few years ago. But now there's two groups, the Shepparton and District Amateur Radio Club and the Vintage Radio Club of Northeast Victoria, that want to turn the buildings into a home for a National Museum of Broadcast History, with a bit of television history thrown in as well. So these two groups have put together a proposal, which at this stage looks set to be submitted to a consortium which is considering buying the block of land. So here's the Shepparton and District Amateur Radio Club's Rodney Shampness, who's explaining a bit more about the proposal, which he says draws on the rich history out at the site.
Well, Radio Australia was commenced in 1944, transmitting. They started building before that, of course. And it's the last one of all the major Australian shortwave broadcasting stations to close, which it did in 2017. There's enormous history there, and we did a lot of good things in regard to education, publicity, etc., to particularly the South Pacific and also Southeast Asia.
I understand the site itself was used, or the broadcast towers, to assist in some pretty significant events in our history.
Well, in Australian history, yes. Many cases we've been used for the likes of Cyclone Tracy. Mm. We took over a lot of the transmissions at Darwin Station, which was decimated by Tracy, and we did that for many years until they rebuilt it. We also, back in 1947, we did do what was called Moon Bounce.
Which I know you and I have spoken about before, and that was repeated just recently of a gathering of radio enthusiasts, wasn't it?
It certainly was, back in mid-March. We repeated it, we did it, and we achieved it.
And this, the idea was to bounce a transmission off a signal to the moon and receive it back on Earth.
That's right, and we succeeded.
So tell us then about this proposal to establish a National Museum of Radio Broadcast History where on the site there at, or the former site at Radio Australia.
Well, the club, the Shepparton District Amateur Radio Club, were looking at the site and have been mulling over it, trying to get it going again, but of course that wasn't to be. So we thought, well, what can it be used for? And the idea came up, and I think Jeff Angus was the one who sort of proposed it. And we thought, well, a radio museum of communication, because really there's nowhere in Australia where we've got anything like that, not of that calibre, and even overseas most of the sites have been completely dismantled, and we need to know a little bit about our history. And to me, it seems that we're almost ashamed of our history, which is a great shame. So this is our aim, is to endeavour to get this as a living museum, with items operating, to have, say, amateur radio out there and show them what we can do there, because amateur radio is a multifaceted interest on all sorts of technological techniques. But we'd want to have it so that it would be useful for what's called the STEM program in schools, to show people in general what it's like to see what the other side of the receiver is like. People don't really know what's on the other side.
So what remains out there in terms of the buildings and other structures? The towers are still there at the moment as well?
Yes, all the towers are there at the moment, although I think there are moves to get rid of what we call the PX group, which is probably the most, the best aerial system that's out there. Mm. It's towards the eastern part of the property. We'd love to see that retained. At the buildings, both buildings, the powerhouse and the transmitting building, are both heritage listed, as I understand it, but the other sections are not.
And there's a fair bit of history out there in terms of equipment as well, is that right? And some of that relates to our TV history as well?
Definitely. Some of it's stored locally. Some people have got it stored at their own homes and that sort of thing. And there are transmitters about in various areas which, if this museum gets off the ground, which we hope it does, we'll be able to perhaps get there and have a complete display for people to see everything, the domestic things, local television, local radio, such as what we're talking on today, and also the shortwave stuff, which was international goodwill system.
What happens next in terms of this bid to have the museum built, or museum established, I should say?
Well, Jeff Angus has spent a lot of time in producing a proposal to the new owners, and we don't know who they really are, but we understand there's quite a few local people involved. If we can provide them with some good sound reasons why a museum of this category would be useful for, say, them, it shows that they are their benevolent attitude. The local council is another thing. It's a tourist attraction. Well, after all, we're getting SAM and we're getting also an improved motor museum. Things like that. So it's another aspect and it's something unique to Shepparton.
Ultimately, Rodney, do you think there's any chance of any of the towers themselves being retained?
I sincerely hope so, but we just don't know, and there's been talk of some of them coming down fairly soon. I just hope that they give us day of execution, if you like, until such times I need to use the land in that area, which could be several years.
So there you go, Rodney Shapness there from Shepparton and District Amateur Radio Club talking about that proposal for a National Museum of Radio Broadcast History. Apparently a lot of great gear out there, a bit of the old television gear as well. But interesting too, they want to make a kind of a live display where you can, interactive, if you will, which I think would be really something. And what a rich history that that site has had in terms of broadcasting, particularly through Cyclone Tracy, where it basically took over the Darwin transmitters.